Well, good morning, church. Happy New Year's Eve Eve. That's a thing to some people. People are going to party tonight and tomorrow and the next day. That's the way it is. Don't worry about it. So we're coming off of quite an interesting time in life, right? We're coming off of Christmas. It's not quite New Year's, but it's this week between Christmas and New Year's where people don't always know what's going on. People are kind of confused about what happened because they just got a bunch of gifts. They just gave a bunch of gifts. And now they have to think about, how do I need to be a better person going into a new year? It's confusing. And this week specifically has people a little lost sometimes because a lot of people take time off of work. Some people have already gone back to work. Some people are just trying to figure their life out right now. And so I grabbed a couple pictures from the internet. They're called memes if you've never heard of them. And they're fun. They're good things. And so today's up here. So Grumpy Cat always hates everything. And he especially hates the holidays for some reason. I don't know why. Let's get the next one. And this guy, he's got the week off work, so I might as well do something creative, right? I don't know what's going on. But it's this week and it's this time period where people are in limbo. They're just not sure what to do, right? And even if they didn't have extra time off, they had Christmas off, right? They had this day to kind of set aside, and it was on a Tuesday this year, so most people probably also had Monday off as well, so you got a nice four-day weekend, and then you go into this week of, okay, I need to figure out what this new year looks like for me. I need to figure out what's going to happen going into 2019. And so right now, it's December 30th. On Tuesday is New Year's Day, and I know for me, I'm probably not going to stay up till midnight on Monday night because I'm a parent, and let's be honest, I just want to sleep a little bit more. And whether or not I stay up till midnight on Tuesday, it's still going to be New Year's. Or excuse me, on Monday. It's still going to be New Year's on Tuesday. So I'm going to sleep. Have fun staying up. You do your thing. That's okay with me. I'm going to go to sleep so I can get a little bit more rest going into a new year. Because you may or may not know, but we're going to have a second kid. And that just means I'm going to be even more tired, but also super grateful. And so as you go into a new year, it's often a chance for people to start something new, to start over, or to pick up something that you shouldn't have set down a long time ago. It's this time where you can go, for me, I need to redo, or I need to start this thing that I've been putting off for a long, long time because I know I need it. I know I need to change this part of me. I know I need to fix this part of me. This is a great time to do that, right? January 1. It's a fresh, clean slate. It's a great time. And so I have a question for you guys, and I'm going to refer to this question a couple times throughout this morning. But what needs to happen in your life in order for you to embrace the new you? And if there's one thing that you remember from this morning, I want it to be that question, because that question will make you want to do something in your life. That question will make you think harder. I know for me, I don't always like to think harder because it requires brain power, and I'm a parent. I'm tired all the time. But when I was preparing for today, I was thinking about this question. I got this picture, this visual in my mind, and some of you guys are probably familiar with it, but it's the idea of a phoenix. And I'm not going to talk a lot about it, but in order for a phoenix to continue living its life, it actually has to die in order to be reborn. And this is a mythical creature. It doesn't exist in the real world, so don't go looking for one or whatever. But this creature has this really interesting perspective on life because it gets to start over when it gets to the end. In a similar way that when we get to the end of a year, we also get to start over in a new year. And so it's just this interesting picture that kind of grabbed me, and I thought about it, and I was like, I kind of like that because a phoenix has to go through death in order to start a new life. And that idea really just kind of stuck in my head as I was preparing for this message. And so I wanted to share that with you guys. But 2018, it was a year. For some people, it was a phenomenal year. My wife got pregnant. We're super excited about that. Some people had probably the best year of their life in 2018. But some people also probably had the worst year of their life in 2018. Houses were lost. People were lost. We experienced a tremendous loss in this community specifically. 2018 was not necessarily a good or easy year for us. But it was a year. And 2018, starting on Tuesday, will be in the past. And that's where we're going to leave it. Now, I don't want us to just forget what happened in the past, because it's important to acknowledge what has happened in our life. But it is past. Did we go through it? You bet we did. Absolutely. Is it in the past? Absolutely. Is it going to affect who we are forever, potentially? Absolutely. But as we go into a new time period, a new frame of mind, we have the ability to take that and move on. We have the ability to take that, let it change us, let it affect us and who we are, and step into a new year, ready to make new commitments, ready to live our life a little differently because of what we've been through. I want to read some verses for you guys. This is 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, do not run like someone who's running aimlessly. Do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians, and it's interesting that he's talking about running because the Corinthians are, you know, they're from Corinth, and if you know anything about geography, Corinth is in Greece. And Greece is where the Olympics started. And so the Corinthians were very familiar with the games, or the Olympiad, as what it's referred to nowadays. And so they're familiar with the idea of having to train for something, have to prepare for something. And running was not the only thing that they did. There's a bunch of other really weird stuff that they did back then in the Olympics that we no longer do because it was many, many years ago. And we're in the 21st century, and we're not going to throw spears at each other and all kinds of weird stuff. But the Corinthians understood what it meant to train, and they understood what it meant to work towards something physically hard. And so when Paul tells them, not everyone who runs a race is running for the prize. You need to run for the prize. And back then, what they ran for, they didn't run for a nice shiny medal. They ran for a crown of olive branches, right? And that was kind of like the cream of the crop. That was like what they wanted to win. And that's weird to me because I'm in the 21st century, but to them, that was what they desired. Above all else, if they were an athlete, the pinnacle of winning for them was that crown of olive branches. There's probably some parallels that could be found in there to olive branches and Jesus and stuff, but we're not going to go there. So the runners then, they chose to beat their bodies, to train physically hard and to work through all that they had to do in order to win a prize. And as Paul so eloquently puts it, they're training and they're competing to win a prize that's going to wilt and they're going to throw away in a week probably because it's a branch, you know, like it's a tree branch. We throw them away every day when we clean our yard or do our yard work. That's not something that we care about. But to them it was important. And for us as Christians, when we compete and when we choose to strive for things in our life, we are looking forward to a crown that lasts forever. And so there's a difference there, right? Because when we are choosing in our life to work towards something, and specifically as a Christian, if we're working towards being a better Christian, we are working towards a crown that will never go away. It will last forever. Now, I got this story. So as you guys probably know, some of you maybe, I don't know, but when I was in high school and part of college, I ran cross country and track. And that's why I always use this 1 Corinthians passage because it means a lot to me. But when I was in high school, I had this best friend named Albert. And we ran all through high school. And I ran a little bit in college. And he ran all through college. And I started high school in 2003. And when we started running, we were like, oh, yeah, man, running's the best. We're going to run forever. This is like the greatest sport in the world. And everyone else was like, you're crazy. You run for fun. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard of. But we loved it. And so we graduated high school in 2007. I went to college. I started running. And I ended up quitting 6 months after I graduated high school cold turkey. That's a whole other story for a whole other day. But my friend Albert, he kept running. And he kept running. And he wasn't always the most diligent person, but he kept running. And we're talking 15, almost 16 years from the time we started running together at the beginning of high school, and he still runs today. Now, a couple years ago, Julie and I, we were like, we want to get into running. You know, I was like, I want to get back into running. She used to run too. We were like, yeah, let's get into running. And so that was our New Year's resolution. Right? We're gonna run, you know? But we didn't give ourselves like a super great goal. We were like, we want to run a half marathon. Like, let's do it. Took us a few months to like sign up for the half marathon, you know, which was like probably part of the problem. But we signed up for the half marathon. It was in the fall in like 2016 or something, I don't know. But we trained for a couple months, really diligently. Every single day, took, you know, 1 or 2 days off a week for a Sabbath and just to rest a little bit. We were doing really good. But a couple months go by, life gets busy. We just didn't have the time anymore, all of a sudden out of the blue, to run. Which doesn't make any sense because we were doing it for a couple months, and then we just were like, oh yeah, you know, it's really cold outside, you know, like I don't have like the right long sleeve shirt to go running, and you know, whatever. We made excuses. But we still ran the half marathon in September. And I knew that I could finish it because I've run that distance and longer many, many times in my youth. And so I knew mentally, like, oh yeah, I'm finishing this race if it kills me, right? Like, I will cross that finish line because I have to finish this, right? But it was difficult to walk for a couple days after that. We laid on the couch as much as possible. And if I remember correctly, I was working with my dad at the time, and I was climbing ladders on Monday and Tuesday after running a half marathon, after not training for it. Annika's shaking her head because she's like, you are dumb, right? She's a runner, she knows. So this was not easy for me. Now my buddy Albert, on the other hand, 15 years running pretty consistently. He's qualified for the Boston Marathon twice. He is a sub-3-hour marathoner. Now, if you know anything about running, that is like what you aspire to. Unless you want to go pro and be super crazy, you want to be a sub-3 marathon runner. You want to qualify for Boston. That is the pinnacle of marathon running, is those two things. He's done them because he's put in the time. He did exactly what Paul talked about in verse 27. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. See, Paul makes this really smooth transition from running to preaching, from running to be a Christian and living my life as someone who is affected and affects for the gospel. And so when I look at someone like Albert, and I go, man, you're doing it. You are living the life that Paul has called us to live. And he happens to be a strong Christian as well, which is really great for the story. But he is the example that we need for what it means to train for something, to work towards something and achieve it. Not many people run a sub-3-hour marathon. A few years ago, Diddy, the rapper, ran a marathon, and he like literally almost died because he didn't train enough for it, right? And he's famous, he's a bigwig, and so everyone's like, oh my gosh, poor Diddy. Nobody cares, right? Your fault, you didn't train. But in reality, Albert is the example that we need to follow when we are looking at what it means to work for something and to succeed, to really achieve it. He's done it twice. And that's enough for me, man. If I do it once, I'll be happy, right? He's done it twice. Truly, truly amazing. A new year isn't just about taking 3 months to get the date right, filling out checks, writing on paper, because if you're me, it takes probably 6 months to get the date right. And I'm a teacher. It's really great. But it's not just about getting the date right. It's about getting yourself right. It's about figuring out how do I take advantage of this new year? How do I step into 2019 from 2018? Whatever happened for you, whatever you went through, however that affected you, however high it brought you or however low it took you, how do you walk from that into a new year? How can we do that? How do we actually choose to go, I'm going to do the thing? I'm going to work towards it. I'm going to take advantage of the time that I have? How do we do that? What needs to happen in your life in order for you to embrace the new you? What needs to happen? As we're heading into a new year, let's not just get by, right? Let's not just go, well, 2018 kind of sucked, and, well, we're just going to kind of go right into 2019. We're just going to keep doing our life the way we've been doing it. Are we going to do that? Or are we going to fight? Are we going to do what Paul tells us to do? Are we going to make our bodies our slave? And that's not only literally can it mean that, but it can also be metaphorical, right? How am I going to control myself? How am I going to be diligent in what I need to do to change the things in my life that need to be changed? Because when I started talking about this stuff, I'm sure everyone in this room thought of one or two things where they're like, I could be better at that, right? I'm like, I could be better at communicating with my wife, right? All the husbands said that in their heads. We all thought something. We all thought, I can do this better. That doesn't change at all if you don't step into 2019 thinking about how you can change it. Because if you just make a list between now and Tuesday and go, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this, maybe I could do that other thing too. We'll see. If you just make the list and that's it, you have your resolutions. You have, this is how I can be a better person. That's great. That's step one. But you don't get any further than step one unless you actually go, how do I change this? How do I actually communicate better with Julie? Right? And we talk about it and we dialogue and we figure it out. But if I don't actually want to change it, I'm not actually going to take steps towards that. And I'm the same old me from 2018. Right? I'm the same old and John's laughing over here too about this communication thing as well. But how can you change who you used to become who you want to be? Albert said, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to run tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. 3 weeks later, it's a habit. He's good to go. He's doing it. He is changing his life. I tried it, then I made excuses, and I failed, and I couldn't walk for a couple days after running a half marathon. That was super, super painful. We actually came back to church that morning, and all of our students were laughing at us because we, like, were walking like this, like, our legs hurt. I guess that's not funny, I don't know. It was funny to them because we were in pain. But when I was growing up, I had there was this picture in my parents' house. I'm talking like when I was young, you know, like under 10. They had this picture, and to me, it seemed like it was really high on the wall, like unusually high. Like, why is that picture so high up on the wall? Like, I'm never, ever going to get to read this thing. And it's got a bunch of words on it. I didn't like the picture much growing up, to be honest, because I was like, it doesn't really make sense in our house. It doesn't look like it goes with everything else. I love you, Mom. I'm growing up, and I'm like, I just don't get it. I don't get why this picture's here. And it's too high up. The words are too small. I can't read it. I can't tell what is going on in this picture. And as I grow up, I eventually get to the point where I'm beginning to be able to read it. I'm beginning to be able to see this picture and read the words that are on it. It's like a paragraph. And some of you might know where I'm going with this. My mom probably does already. But it was this story, and some consider it a poem. And there's actually a lot of disagreement over who wrote this poem, so I'm not even going to go there. But the principle of the thing rings true no matter who wrote it, no matter where you've read it. So I want to read it for you guys. It's called Footprints in the Sand. One night, I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and the saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times in my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you, and I will never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testings, when you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And this was like a last minute addition to this sermon, and I just didn't really, it just popped into my head, and I just thought, wow, you know, stupid little TC as a kid who couldn't read a thing because he was too short, right? I was at one point short, yes, it's true. He didn't fully understand what it meant for someone else to carry you through the difficulties of life, for someone else to literally pick you up and walk you through the worst things you've ever been through. And even when I was big enough to read this story and I see, you know, there's a picture of footprints, there's only one set of footprints in the sand, and I read the story and I go, I don't really get it. Like, why would the Lord carry someone? It doesn't make sense to me. You know, I'm like 10, right? Like, philosophical 10-year-old TC doesn't get it, big whoop. But as I grow, I haven't even thought about this poem, this picture, this phrase, this story in years. And it popped into my head, and I really just went, I get it. I get why this picture was hanging in my parents' house. Because if you can walk by that picture every single day of your life, that is a reminder to you that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, will walk with you through everything. Through the lowest of the lows that we've experienced in 2018, our Lord was carrying us through that. Because we might not have had the strength to walk all on our own. And we needed that. And sometimes we're the person in the story. We go, God, I don't even feel like you're there. I feel like I see one set of footprints in the sand, and it's just me. Sometimes we feel like that, especially with what has happened lately in this community, especially if you were affected by that. Some people have truly thought, I'm doing this alone. But then I read a story like this, and I know it's true. Because I can look back at times in my life that were not just this past year, just in my past in general, and I can see the difficulties, the things that I've been through that brought me to the lowest of the lows. And I can look back, and hindsight's 20/20, right? And so I look back, and I can see that God had me going through things, and He walked with me through some of the most terrible stuff in my life so that I could be where I am today, so that I could continue on where I'm going in the future. See, for many people, 2018 was, again, it was just a year. It was another year, another tick in the belt. I gained 10 pounds last year. Actually, I did. That's just the way it is, right? That's reality. We go through life. Are we doing it by ourselves? Do we think that we are the only set of footprints in the sand? Or do we realize that God is with us? Do we realize that He is carrying us every step of the way? And there are times when there are two sets of footprints in the sand. When we can, we are at that high, we are at that pinnacle of, oh my gosh, God, you are amazing. And He's like, okay, let's see if you can do it on your own. And we'll do it for a little while. We'll walk. And as a kid, walking in the sand was the worst thing ever, right? Because you got these little legs and your feet sink 2 inches into the sand as you're like stepping out of the sand. And even as an adult, walking in sand just kind of sucks, right? It's just kind of annoying. Like, people just hate the beach. Just, that's reality. Southern California and you hate the beach, you know? No judgment, but whatever. Even if it's difficult to walk in the sand, there is always someone who can pick you up and carry you. There's always someone who will carry you, whether or not you realize that they are there. And when you run a marathon, now we're not talking half marathon anymore, we're talking full-blown marathon. When you run one of those, and even in half sometimes, they often mark each mile so that you can kind of check your pace, see how you're doing on your goal, right? Because typically if you're running a marathon, you go, I want to run this time, at least if you're Albert, I want to run, you know, sub 3, so I got to average this time per mile. And in order to hit that time, you have to go, okay, each mile, check the watch, okay, I'm behind pace, I'm ahead of pace. Figure out what you need to do to slow down, to speed up, to achieve that goal, whatever you've set for yourself. And it's really convenient because for 26.2 miles, every single mile, 26 of them, there's a nice little marker, maybe a table with some water to kind of refresh you, that tells you you've made it one more part of the way through this race. Now, if we think back to 1 Corinthians, to what Paul is talking about, how he so smoothly goes from running a race to being a Christian and preaching the gospel, we go, how does 26.2 miles equate to life? Because there's probably a lot of people in this room that are older than 26.2 years old, right? And I think most of us are under the age of 100, so we can't multiply by 4. Right? So how does this work? It doesn't translate easily. And I'm a teacher, so I kind of like trying to make this work. And I'm just like, it doesn't. Just accept it, right? But each mile marker is a year for us. And you're going to run an uncertain number of years. And if you don't know when the end of the race is, can you slack off for a mile? You can't. If you want to achieve something in your life and you don't know when the end of that race, of that life is, you can't slack off 1 mile. You can't take a year and go, man, just forget it. You have to work. We have to work on ourselves. If we take a year and just go, I'm just gonna do me. I don't really care about anything else. I know I wouldn't like the consequences. I don't like the consequences. I don't take care of myself. Again, you can ask my wife. I'm not good at communicating those things. What is it going to look like for you to run that race, to live that life, and each year, year after year? It's not just about 2019. It's not just about 2018, right? Because December 31st, 2019 is going to be here before you know it. And when that's here, you're going to look back at 2019 and go, maybe? How did I do, right? How was my pace? Did I make it through what I wanted to make it through? Did I not make it through? Was my pace too slow? Was I sluggish? Did I have a bad mile? What does it look like for us? And you got to think. You got to really go, am I going to put in the time? Am I going to beat my body and make it my slave so that I can achieve the things through God that he has set before me? If I don't choose to do these things, I'm not going to do them. I can make that list every single year. But if I don't actually want to change myself, change who I am, I'm not going to achieve the things on that list. I've asked this question a few times now. What needs to happen in your life in order for you to embrace the new you? Now, I'd love to give you guys a 3-point answer about how to answer this question for yourselves, but I can't do that. Because each of us is running our own race. Each of us is doing things the way that is best for us. Each of us is going through a completely different life, a completely different set of circumstances than everyone else in the room. Maybe one person has one thing in common with you, but that's it. Your life looks drastically different than every other person around you. And that's okay, right? Because we are all living our own life. We are all running our own race. But when we leave today and when we go into real New Year's Eve tomorrow, when we go into 2019 on Tuesday after sleeping in, because it's just going to be so wonderful, what are you actually going to do to run your race? What are you actually going to do to say, this is my year? 2018, that was a year. Some stuff happened, some good things, some bad things, whatever it was. But 2019, this is going to be my year. I'm going to change things. I'm going to take the things about me that God doesn't like, the things that I don't like, and I am going to change them. I am going to be a different person, a better person, a stronger person, a healthier person, a more caring about myself and less about others, or vice versa person. Whatever that thing is, if you want to achieve it, only you, with the help of God, can do it. Remember, there's only one side of the footprints in the sand, because God is carrying us through the most difficult things that we've been through, the most difficult parts of our life. And as we are going through life, and as we're transitioning into a time of newness and a fresh start and all the things that a new year can usher into us or for us, He's been carrying you as long as you have needed Him to. He has held your hand the entire way. He's been there for you when you felt like no one else was. You felt alone and desperate. And He was there just waiting for you to look back and to see one set of footprints and to realize that that one set of footprints was not yours, but it was His. Because He has carried the cross for us since forever. He's always been there for us. He always will be there for us. And so as we go into a new year, right? Today is December 30th. Tuesday is New Year's Day. Who cares that Tuesday is New Year's Day? Right? Let's start today. Let's do the thing today. When you go home, do the thing. When you wake up tomorrow morning, do the thing, right? Because New Year's Day is this thing where it's kind of an American construct, in my opinion. Not New Year's Day in general. That's a calendar, Roman calendar, whatever, all that stuff. But in reality, when you want to change, when you want to be who you are meant to be, the calendar doesn't matter. It just happens to be this time where you can go, I'm going to join a gym, and January 1st is the busiest gym day of the year, and then like February 1st is like not, right? It's just not. So it's not about the day. We can start today. Today can be our New Year's Day. Why not? It can be our new me day. I can go home and I can just be better. And I can make my list and I can practice and I can work hard and I can make my body my slave. My mind, my physical body, I can choose to be different. I can choose to work towards being different in order that I will achieve it. I will finish that race, whenever the finish comes. We don't know when it's going to be. It could be in, I mean, I'm 30 now. It's kind of gross, but I'm 30 now, and it could be in another 30 years. It could be in 60 years. It could be in 5 years. And so regardless of when that finish is going to be, I need to run my race. I need to train for my race. Otherwise, it's going to be hard to walk for a couple days or a couple years or however that part of the metaphor equates. So how does it look for you guys, myself included? How does it look for us to step into a new year going, let's be different. Let's acknowledge that someone carries us through the difficult stuff, the hard times. Someone's going to be there, and if we acknowledge that, it might make it a little easier for us to get through it. If we know someone has their hand on our shoulder at all times. I grew up with a dad who always chose to be at every sporting event possible. And we played baseball growing up, and he loves baseball, and so he coached. And then I was like, yeah, baseball's like not, I mean, it's like fun, but like, you know, it's not really my thing. So I started playing soccer right around middle school. And he knew nothing about soccer. He's like, running and kicking a ball? Like, what is that? right? But he still tried. He went to practices. He helped me. He was at games. And then I got into high school, and I ditched the ball, and he was just running, right? Like, just running. Just running. Like, again, some people just go, why? Like, why are you running? I don't get it, right? And if you've ever been a runner at some point, hopefully you understand that there's just something magical about just pounding out miles. And he was at every single cross-country meet for 4 years, and he had no idea what I was doing. But he supported me every step of the way, in the same way that our Heavenly Father supports us every single step of the way. And if I had a bad race, he was there to pick me up. If I have a bad thing in life, I can rely on God to be there for me. I can rely on my Heavenly Father always to pick me up and to be there and to carry me through the difficult stuff in my life, in our lives. And so as we go into 2019, I want you guys to think about that question. What needs to happen in your life in order for you to embrace the new you? And the new you is who God has designed you to be. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you so much for just your word. Thank you for bringing us through a year that has been full of all kinds of different stuff. Some good, some bad, some amazing, and some terrible. But God, we've lived it, and we've been through it. And we thank you for carrying us, even when we did not know that you were carrying us, Lord. You are our Father and our provider and our Savior. We acknowledge that. We are excited to acknowledge that going into a new year, Lord. I pray that as we enter into 2019, starting today if we want to, God, that we would seek to be the person you have made us to be. Lord, you are good infinitely, and that is enough for us. I pray that we would live 2019 acknowledging your goodness and your faithfulness. We pray these things in the Son, and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.